MG has a piece of advice. Never operate heavy machinery while listening to the Rush Hour Catch-Up podcast. For the right advice and over 90,000 products, head to Kennards Hire. Kennards.com.au.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And a very good evening. And, of course, MG having a well-earned break this week. So to Liam, so Maroon and Hooper in the chair. Mr. Hooper, Mr. James Hooper, Triceps Hooper, Hoops, welcome to you.
Evening, Anthony. How good? Friday night and spending a little bit of time with the Redfern Rocket, the one and only.
Yes.
The famous Waterloo Waratah. And what a feast of sport, absolute smorgasbord this weekend in this city. And also abroad. We've got a test match overseas. The cricket has been sensational. Usman Khawaja, what a knock overnight. And all good stuff.
Usman Khawaja. And, of course, the Everest tomorrow. So we're going to catch up with Bruce McAvaney a little bit later on. I know you love Bruce.
It's the world's richest horse race, Anthony. $13
million. $13
million? $13 million prize money. Terrific job by Peter Volandis from Racing New South Wales putting this showpiece together. And they're talking it's going to be bumper to bumper out at Randwick. They're expecting a crowd of 40,000 plus. So get out there and get involved.
And Central Coast Mariners, of course, Usain Bolt. They take on the MacArthur Southwest United over the weekend. Simon Hill, one of your stablemates from Fox, is going to talk about Usain Bolt. He's going to come on the show very shortly.
I know you're a big A-League fan, Anthony, so I know you can't wait to speak to Simon. Neither can I, because so much he's created so many front page and back page headlines. Usain Bolt, one of the world's greatest athletes. How's he going to go in the A-League?
Well, we'll talk to Simon. We'll ask him about that. But, of course, the game that we love, Hoops, the great game of rugby league, we're going to talk about that next on the Rush Hour with MG on Triple M with Hoops and Maroon.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG Maroon and James Hooper filling in for MG and Liam tonight. It's, of course, on Sydney's Triple M. It's all thanks to our mates at Kennards Hire. You do any projects over the weekend, big or small, they've got the right equipment, the right advice, no matter how big or small the job. Over 90,000 products. Hoops, you get in there. You do a bit of handyman stuff around the house, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I sometimes power drill my hand to the floor or something like that, Anthony. Yeah, very handy.
Well, go in there and get a drill, or you can get a cement mixer or a jackhammer, whatever you're doing around your place.
I've heard you're very handy down at the Little Bay compound.
I am.
You like to get the tool belt on and get the toolbox out and all that sort of thing.
I'm hopeless.
What do you do if you go into Kennards? What would be the first thing you'd pull off the shelf?
Well, I'd go to my local Kennards and I'd go in there and see Craig.
Yep.
Or Tomo, as we call him.
Yeah.
I say, Tom, whatever I'm doing, I just go and say, Tomo, I'm taking wallpaper off the wall, or I'm trying to fit a new light, or I'm trying to fit a screen door. And he'll say, you need this, you need that, you know, and I just take the stuff home, get through it. The other day I had one of these big, I don't even know what you call it, but it took the old paint off the back deck, had a big belt
on it.
A Garth Tander, as we call it. A Garth Tander. And I did the deck with that and cleaned up. But so you got to go to Kennards, mate.
Yeah, man, you know, if you don't.
Make the job easier. Look, it's time for this.
Trending now.
Yeah, there's only one game we talk about first up, and that is, of course, the National Rugby League, the NRL. And the coaching roundabout, Hoops, it really, nothing's been solved since we last spoke. So I'm going to ask you these ones just straight off the top. Who's going to coach the Tigers next year?
You know, Maroon, as the weeks unfolded and as the last couple of weeks have unfolded since the Roosters won the premiership, initially, you know, when the Wayne Bennett talk surfaced, I thought, oh, wow, maybe that could happen. But I just get the feeling from speaking to people over the course of the last 48 hours that I don't know that it can happen, because they're adamant that Wayne is going to see out the final year of his contract at the Broncos. So with that said, I think that the bloke who is coaching New Zealand tomorrow night, Michael Maguire, he knocked back the Manly Seagulls gig. I think that he has a very strong chance of coaching the West Tigers because I know from speaking to people at the club that it's basically down to either him or Wayne Bennett. And as I said off the top, I get the impression as though Wayne, it's going to be hard to prize him out of Red Hill before 2020. So I think that tips things in favour of Madge. He won a premiership with the Bunnies in 2014. Hard disciplinarian, doing a good job with the Kiwis. So I get the feeling as though that could be the way it swings, but there's still a bit to play out with the whole Ivan Cleary scenario.
But how would you not grab someone like Madge? He's mid-40s. He's won a premiership with South. A couple of times he got him to the game before the grand final. He's had a premiership in the Super League. Surely this guy, at 45 years old or whatever he is, he's overqualified for the job.
100%. Thing I like about Madge, Maroon, is he's a really hard disciplinarian.
Yeah.
And for a club like the Tigers that's mid-table, missed the eight this year, promised a lot early, beat the Roosters, beat the Melbourne Storm. I think when you promised to dress up as a cheer girl and head up to Port Macquarie and dance around on the bar and whatnot and down the main street. That offer still stands, by the way. Mm. Flowery up at the Settlers Inn Hotel. He's happy to pay flights, accommodation, the whole box and dice if you're willing to honour that bet. But
if I did, I've got so many commitments.
That aside,
yeah.
The thing with Michael Maguire is he's a proven winner. And as I was saying, for a club that's middle of the road like the Tigers at the moment, well, he's the sort of bloke who can take him to the next level.
All right. So that brings us to the next club I want to ask you about, and that is Manly. Now we're hearing, obviously, Michael Maguire has knocked back the job. Now, am I hearing now Jason Taylor has also said he doesn't want the job?
Yeah, well, you read all the reports in the Telegraph and the Sydney Morning Herald today, Maroon, and Jason Taylor, on the back of stories emerging that he was now a left-field surprise contender, he reached out to the papers and he spoke to Paul Crawley from reading his report in the Telegraph today, and it said that Jason Taylor had ruled himself out of that equation. So JT doesn't want the gig. Michael Maguire's knocked it back as well. Manly's a basket case, Maroon. I really feel sorry for them. Jeff Tuvey's the answer. Mm. Jeff Tuvey is the answer for the Manly Seagulls, and I just hope that the owners of the club at the moment aren't too stubborn for their own good to reach out, put the olive branch out, and bring a club champion back, because that's the only thing at the moment that will appease their fans, and they are rightfully really restless because it's a laughing stock at the moment. This is very unmanly, the way that they're doing business.
But is this the way to go, Hoops, to go back?
I think it is. Given this current scenario, given the current cards that they're holding. I mean, you look at that Manly side, Maroon. It's a pretty damn good side. Like, you look at this test match tomorrow night. Jake Trbojevic is playing for Australia. Tom Trbojevic is playing for Australia. Daly Cherry-Evans is playing for Australia. And Marty Tapau is playing for the Kiwis. There's four test players.
Okay.
You throw Dylan Walker in there. You throw Arpi Korosau in there. It's a damn good roster.
All right. So on the back of what you've said there, it is a good roster. Now, NRL coaching jobs are very, very rare. Mike Maguire doesn't want the job. Jason Taylor doesn't want the job. NRL coaching jobs don't come up, and here's two blokes have knocked back the job.
There's a reason they don't want the job, and it's because of the dysfunctional ownership and the dysfunctional management and the way that the club has been run over the course of the last couple of seasons. So we saw Trent Barrett go there, have success last season. He got him into the finals. Nobody gave him a chance. They went very close to making it through to the second week of the finals. They were pipped by Penrith in a very tight game. There was a controversial call. And then this season, it all started to go pear-shaped, and one bad decision led to another, and they missed the eight and bombed out, and injuries really hurt the club. But it's because of the way that the joint is being run, Maroon, that people are turning away from it.
See, for those of us who are old enough to remember, like me, the 80s, when Manly would just go and take South players or West players or Newtown players, they were the glamour club. They just dominated at every level. And here they are, you know, with the backside out of their pants, for want of a better term. What is the long term for Manly?
They're known as the Silvertails, Maroon.
Yeah.
And you go back, you touched on the 80s. They had Bozo Fulton as a coach, won a premiership 87, won another premiership 1996. And you go back to the 70s and the 60s, and Bozo was playing, and he's an immortal. And as you say, they poached a heap of players from South Sydney. And they poach players from all over the place, the Western Suburbs Magpies as well, and that whole rivalry, one of the great rivalries, the Silvertails and the Fibros, between them and the old Western Suburbs Magpies, that's all gone now, and the way that things have unfolded, you know, the Seagulls are in a really tough period, and they've gone down the road of private ownership, and it's worked for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, but at the moment, it's not working for the Manly Seagulls. And their head coach, Trent Barrett, heard a number of his grievances earlier this season, only a couple of weeks back, about a month ago, about how things had gone wrong at the joint, and I don't think he wanted to go down that road, but he was backed in a corner where he had to.
Mm.
But you can just see what's the future for them. Look, I don't know. Some people are talking relocation and some people are talking, you know, possible merging and all that sort of thing. We've been down that road. It didn't work with the Northern Eagles. I couldn't see it working again. You want the Manly Seagulls still in the competition, and you want them strong because they've got a proud history and they've got a lot of passionate supporters.
Okay, this is the Rush Hour with MG. Only MG's not here today, nor is Liam. You've got Maroon and Hoops, James Hooper from Fox League. 133353 on 104.9 Triple M. Let's take one of your calls. Nikki's in Menai. Nikki, what did you want to say?
Okay, I reckon I could coach Manly.
Why is that?
Well, who's laughing in the background?
That's Hoops.
That's Maroon.
Hoops, that's...
I promise, Nikki, it was Maroon. Why do you reckon you could coach the Seagulls?
Well, you know they can play. You know they're top-class players, right?
Absolutely. So what's the problem then?
A little bit of discipline and, like, getting to bed before 10 p.m., and they need a coach like me because I reckon I could whip them into shape. And there you go. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, good on you, Nikki. Maybe you could do the job. They do have the roster, but they don't have the depth, I suppose. And they don't quite have the roster. Just these last two, I guess you've answered these in one way or another here. Broncos, Wayne, you believe will be there next year, Wayne Bennett. And Penrith, it's only a matter of time we're hearing Hoops before we hear Ivan Cleary is back coaching Penrith in what I think is probably one of the most awful, untasteful things I've seen in my 50-odd years watching rugby league. The way this Penrith-Ivan Cleary thing has played out, I don't know what it is, but as a fan, it's just left an awful taste in my mouth.
Yeah, look, there is an element of a sour taste to it, no doubt about it, Anthony, from a Tigers, long-time Tigers fan and long-time Tigers member point of view. You know, Ivan Cleary was the coach that was going to take us back to the promised land, and he asked everybody to get on the bus, and he signed a heap of players based on the fact that he was going to be the head coach and he was going to drive the bus and take them to where they needed to be. And for whatever reason, you know, Ivan's decided that he wants to go in a different direction. But no doubt about it, the way that it has been handled publicly, it has certainly left a lot of questions and left a little bit of a perhaps tarnished Ivan's reputation.
Good on you, Hoops. That's James Hooper. This is the Rush Hour with MG. And still to come, we're going to speak to Bruce McAvaney about the Everest at Randwick tomorrow, and Simon Hill talks about Usain Bolt and the Central Coast Mariners. Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Maroon and James Hooper filling in for MG and Liam, and of course the boys are having a well-earned break. Talking a little bit of rugby league, Kangaroos, New Zealand, this game happens tomorrow around about, I think it's 5:45 Aussie time. We're doing a gig at Mounties in the sports bar, me and Dell. If you're doing nothing, you want to come and have a bit of a drink with Dell and say good day. But this is going to be an interesting game, Hoops. By no way are Australia going to walk away with this game.
I think it's going to be a cracking test match, Maroon, and there's so many interesting subplots to it. I can't remember the last time Australia started a test match and they didn't have Cameron Smith, Jonathan Thurston or Billy Slater or some of those big game key position players. So for me, that's the most interesting element of how this game is going to play out is how will Daly Cherry Evans go at halfback? Luke Keary on debut. What a performance. What a final series from Luke Keary. But he hasn't played State of Origin and this is his test match debut. We know James Tedesco's handled State of Origin, but this is his debut in the green and gold jumper. And one of your favourite players, Damien Cook from the Red and Green Burrow, well, he's also on debut in the green and gold. So I think there's so many fascinating elements. The Kiwis are a damn good side, Maroon. Like, you look at their forward pack and it's Jesse Bromwich and it's Jared Wairea Hargraves, Kevin Proctor, James Fisher-Harris. They're a damn good team. Perhaps as much as Australia's spine is going to be relatively inexperienced, well, the Kiwi spine is also relatively inexperienced, with the exception of Sean Johnson. They're going to have Dallin Mutini-Zalesniak, Cody Nikorima will play halfback, and young Brandon Smith will be the number nine on debut for the Kiwis as well. So perhaps that evens things out a little bit from a green perspective in terms of the Kangaroos, but it's going to be a belter of a game.
Yeah, you talked about those Australian players on debut there, Hoops, but what about... So I don't think Luke Keary's going to let anyone down at any level. Trebojevic. Damien Cook, by his own lofty standards, that wasn't a great game against the Roosters that final game of the year.
Oh, listen to the rabbit coming out in you.
Hey?
Listen to the red and green bunny coming out. Listen to,
well, it was the
that's straight out of the burrow, that criticism. That's scathing.
Mate, look, you are joking.
Look, Damien Cook, what a State of Origin series that he had. What a breakout season that he had. He's a Dalian Hooker of the Year. He's an absolute champion player. Yes, the game that you just referenced, by his standards, I'm sure Damien would admit, and I think he has in the aftermath, that it wasn't his best game, but he wasn't alone.
No.
The Roosters played damn well. Look, I think, no doubt, we saw at State of Origin level that Damien is going to be able to handle this style of football, but it's test match football, and until we actually see him out there and watch what he can bring, well, we won't quite know.
And we see Michael Maguire coaching New Zealand. We talked about Michael Maguire early being a disciplinarian. What does he say to this Kiwi side and the importance of this win tomorrow night?
Look, I think he'll just keep it pretty simple. He had his first foray with the Kiwis over in Denver in the States in the middle of the year, and they were really strong. The Poms only ran away with that test match in the final 15-20 minutes of the game. The Kiwis were really strong, and I think this side, this Kiwi team, is a better Kiwi side than the one that actually played over there. So Sean Johnson back into the lineup, especially. I get the feeling this New Zealand side, they're a good chance of causing an upset. Michael Maguire, I think he'll keep it pretty simple and just tell him to go out and have a crack.
Okay, that's Hoops. It's the Rush Hour with MG. MG, of course, having a week off. We've got plenty to talk about, too. We're going to talk about Usain Bolt's and the Central Coast Mariners. I'm sure you've got some thoughts on that, Hoops.
Is it Usain Bolt or Usain Bolts? You just called one of the greatest athletes
did I
in
say
the history
Bolts?
Of the world.
Did
you
I say Bolts?
Him Bolts? Yeah.
Are you sure I said that?
I think you did.
All right, well, we're going to
go to the tape. But I'll tell you what, look, what a tremendous athlete he is, and let's see what he can bring to the A-League.
What can he bring to the A-League? Is he up to it? That's the question.
He can bring speed, I know that much. He's lightning fast.
Yeah, well, that's the question I want to ask Simon Hill. Is he going to make it in the A-League? We'll talk more about that and the great Bruce McAvaney to talk about the Everest tomorrow. 13 million bananas up there for grabs tomorrow. Hoops, you're going out to Randwick?
You love Bruce. No, unfortunately, I'm not going out to Randwick tomorrow, Maroon. I've got to look after my kids.
Take them with you.
No, I won't take them out of the track. They're a little bit little. They're only 5 and 6, so yeah. I'll wait another couple of years.
Well, when I was a kid, my old man used to put me in the car, take me up to the Grosvenor, make me sit in the car while he went into the Grosvenor and put a bet on with the SP.
Yeah, don't worry, I've been down that road as well.
The good old days. The Rush Hour on 104.9 Triple M.
Hey! Think you're struggling to get home in traffic? Oh. This guy has to head all the way to Penrith after work. The Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And welcome back to it on 104.9 Triple M. No MG tonight. Maroon and James Hooper. James Triceps Hooper in the chairs now. Just so you know, last week MG had a best bet. He had a bet and he got it wrong. Okay. So now if I'm going to ask you for your best bet of the weekend. And if you get it right, you're the carryover champion. You get to do it again next week. Okay. Next Friday.
Fair play.
Okay. So let's just say I've got $20 here. I was going to put it in the grandson's money box, but no, I want to get some value out of this $20. I go to Randwick tomorrow, and what do I put it on?
Firstly, the world's got more problems than I thought.
Right.
If you're starting to ask me for gambling advice and things that you should put your last lobster on, and let's say this is your last lobster. But look, I've tried to do some homework. Obviously, a good friend of ours, Ryan Girdler, also has that relative, the Cooler, that has a very strong track record when it comes to tipping horses. The Everest at Randwick tomorrow, Maroon, is the feature race of the day. $30 million up for grabs. But I get the impression that if you're in doubt and you're looking to power out later on in the day, then Huey Bowman will get you out in the last at Randwick, race 10. There's a horse called Esperance.
Ooh,
I know
it's
not the place where you used to take Miss Portugal over on holidays to in Western Australia.
No,
but this
I
used
to take it to Karratha.
There you go. This is a horse. Esperance, race 10 tomorrow at Randwick, and Huey Bowman will ride it. James Cummings trains it. If you're having a bad day and you're struggling to get out, then get on this in the last. Hopefully, it'll give you some joy, and it'll ride your last lobster to victory.
Good on you, Hoops. This is The Rush Hour with MG on Triple M. Back with more right after this.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's The Rush Hour with MG on 104.9 Triple M with Maroon and James Triceps Hooper filling in for MG and Liam. They're having a little bit of an extended long weekend. Well, of course, lots of sports talk in the last few weeks have been around Usain Bolt and the Central Coast Mariners. So let's talk a little bit of A-League. Let's talk about this game that's coming up from Fox Sports, man that is, of course, an A-League commentator and right across everything soccer. Simon Hill, welcome to The Rush Hour, my friend.
Good to be with you guys. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you for your time. So I guess the big question everybody wants to ask, I know there's two lines of trains of thought, isn't there? Yeah, this is good for the A-League, but is this guy up to A-League standard? I'm not a fan of these people that change codes and just think they can just jump in. Is the bloke, is Usain Bolt up to it?
In a word, from what I've seen, no, he's not. And I'm very much in your school of thought. It's not that I have anything against Usain as a person. I'm told he's a very nice guy. And, of course, he's a legendary athlete. You know, really enjoyed watching him run in the 100 metres. But that's what he is. He's a sprinter. Now, I know he played football as a kid. Well, you know, many people did that. The reason he's here, let's be honest about it, is because he's a big name. And he brings a lot of publicity with him. And I get that, and I understand it. My issue with it is that at 32, we're talking about, you know, is he going to be good enough for the A-League? Well, I'm just not sure you can learn those skills at that age. You know, football is a game that you have to begin, probably in common with a lot of other sports, you have to start playing as a kid and, you know, take it through to elite level all the way through those junior rep teams and, you know, the best ones get promoted and the rubbish gets sifted out. Now, Usain sort of leapfrogged all of that by dint of his celebrity status, and I understand why it's happening. I just don't think it's a particularly good look for our league. Mm. And I want our league to be taken seriously in this country, as it is, incidentally, overseas. It gets a lot more respect overseas than it does in our own country, which is ridiculous.
But you do understand it, though, Simon, from what you're saying, that from a marketing point of view, it's put the A-League on the front page, it's put the A-League on the back page. I understand as well and respect what you're saying in terms of what you're saying can actually deliver out on the pitch, but from a marketing point of view, the FFA, it's a masterstroke, isn't it?
Well, I get all of that, and if that's all it is about, then brilliant. You know, it's done the job. But we're in the realms of a lot of people who, and I have to be careful what I say here because I don't want to be disrespectful to people, but you know, there's an awful lot of journalists turned up to his first trial game and they were saying, oh, you know, once he has the skill set required, he'll be an A-League player. Well, it ain't that easy. You know, I can sit here today and go, I want to go and play professional cricket, but it doesn't mean I've got the ability to go and do it.
No.
So I just want it to be, you know, understood that this is a very difficult thing that he's trying to do. And to be fair to Usain, I think he knows that. But it's all the, you know, the noise around it. And the other thing that concerns me, and this is a really important point, if he was to be offered an A-League contract, and that's by no means certain at the moment, but if he was, the sort of money that we're talking about, I've heard the figure $3 million bandied around. Now, that's almost Alessandro Del Piero levels. And I'm sorry, but there is no way in pure football terms, we're going to get a Del Piero-type return. So, to me, if he wants to play professional football, hey, no problem. If he proves himself good enough, you go on minimum wage, and maybe you get a cut of, you know, the people, the extra people that come and turn up to watch you, which I'm sure in the initial phase would be quite significant. But, you know, how long they would last, I'm not sure, because after 5 or 10 games, I think it will become pretty obvious. Even if he is up to the standard required, which I still think there's a big question mark against, you know, he's going to be nothing more than a bog-standard A-League player. He's not going to be Thomas Broich or Bessart Berisha or Del Piero. You know, that's best-case scenario. So I don't want to sound like a party pooper. I understand why they're doing it. But for me, I'm rather uneasy with the whole thing.
I'm with you, Simon.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, Simon. Let me ask you this. You're well tapped in. You've got your ear to the ground around the game. How's it being perceived amongst some of the other A-League players? Do they see it as a little bit of a gimmick? And do they think that, you know, it's a classic case of overspending and a waste of money? Or how are they perceiving the move?
Well, look, I think if you spoke to a lot of A-League players, honestly, and this is the tricky bit, because, you know, we're to use the common vernacular, a challenger sport in Australia. I don't necessarily like that term, but it's probably the truth. So we've got to try and do things a little bit differently to try and get publicity, because we don't get a lot of oxygen in the media. Now, for me, and I'm a football purist, obviously, as you can tell, you know, I'd prefer to be selling our story on the back of the likes of Keisuke Honda, Ola Toivonen, and two players who played the World Cup, by the way, in Russia at the very highest level of the game, not 2-3 months ago, plus other stars that we've signed like Sim De Jong, a guy who's playing tonight, who's not mentioned in a single, rating a single mention. Ross McCormack has played in the Premier League for many years, and he'll be playing in the same team as Usain Bolt tonight. I'd rather be selling the game on its own merits and its own terms and talking about those guys. And I think most A-League players, and again, that you know, they're careful what they say because they understand the landscape we inhabit as well. They'd probably say exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I have to say, I've heard you say this in other media circles, Simon, and I think you are 150% correct. To bring someone in, and we've seen it in all codes, all sports, AFL, NRL, to bring someone in who's never played the game, it devalues the game, it makes everyone else think, hey, hang on a second, I've been doing this all my life, and, you know, this bloke's just going to jump the queue because he's a... great respect to him. He's the fastest man in the world. Beautiful.
Of course.
But he's not a football player.
Of course. And look, he may well prove me wrong over the coming months, and I hope for his sake he does. It's nothing personal that I have against Usain. And you know, I know people are involved in trying to sort of structure this deal, and they said, oh, you're constantly smashing it. Well, the only reason I'm offering my opinion is because I keep getting asked about it. I'd rather be talking about the other guys that I've mentioned in the upcoming A-League season, but it is a big story because, you know, we're in a country where football doesn't dominate the landscape, and this guy does resonate, but not through football terms. So it's a very sort of, it's a minefield that you have to walk through in this. We need the publicity, yes. But, you know, if he succeeds, if he gets offered a contract at $3 million, what, you know, who's next? Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
You know,
Jarryd Hayne.
Federer playing Jarryd Hayne for Sydney FC. You know, you've got to be serious about your game. And when all the, you know, when the bandwagon has moved on and all these journalists have gone back to rugby league and AFL and cricket, who'll be left holding the baby? It'll be people like me.
Yeah.
You know, still covering the game.
Good on you, mate. Well said, Simon, and always a pleasure to talk with you. Don't miss Usain Bolt's second trial tonight, 7:30, live and exclusive on Fox Sports 503. All the best with it, Simon Hill.
Cheers, guys. Have a good weekend.
Good on you, mate. There he is, Simon Hill, talking Usain Bolt. The Rush Hour with MG on Triple M, Maroon and Hoops. Filling in for MG and Liam, they're having a little bit of a break. We're still going to talk Everest, so stick around for that, Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and, of course, Maroon and Hoops in the chair filling in for the big bloke tonight. Of course, tomorrow here in the beautiful city of Sydney, it is the race everyone's talking about at the moment, the Everest. It's 4:15 approximately tomorrow at the beautiful Randwick Racecourse, and to talk about it, one of Australia's premier sports broadcasters, commentators from Channel 7, the great Bruce McAvaney. Welcome to the Rush Hour, my friend.
Pleasure, Anthony. How are you going, mate?
Absolutely fantastic. This race, so much controversy around it this week, Bruce, but so many talking points in and around it. Firstly, a $600,000 fee in order to qualify for the race?
Yeah, well, they're the slot holders, so there's 12 of them, and they actually paid $1.8 million, Anthony, because they had to take on a three-year deal. But look, the prize money's phenomenal. If your horse can run in the first four tomorrow, you put your nose in front, and if you can win, you get $6 million. So, look, it's a gamble. That's what racing's about, but it's created enormous excitement, as you sort of indicated a moment ago. And this is only the second year. I was here last year for it. It was a fantastic day. It sort of transcended racing, and I'm expecting nothing different tomorrow. In fact, probably bigger and better than ever. But it's had its fair share of controversy leading in, but I guess any publicity is good publicity.
Bruce, so much talk about this race. It is the richest horse race in the world. Who do you actually like when you look at that crack field tomorrow?
It is such a tricky race. There are 12 horses, and honestly, it's not a cliche to say they've all got a chance because they have, and the betting indicates that. Red Zell's probably the safest. He won it last year. He's slightly shorter odds tomorrow than he was last year. There's a three-year-old colt who might blow them all out of the water. There's a horse from Ireland who's won a big race in England, the biggest sprint race in England. And then you've got a whole heap of other chances. So if you pin me to the floor, I'll say Red Zell, but I've got no confidence at all. I think it's going to be a fabulous race. I'm going to be a half a length between the first three or four of them.
What about the track conditions? It's been pouring in Sydney for most of the day. How much of a factor, how much does that play into it?
A bit. And we'd all like a better track than we're going to get, but a lot of these horses are good on wet ground. Most of them, 10 of the 12, I reckon, are very good on wet ground, and the other couple will probably get through. So it probably doesn't help us at all. It probably keeps as many chances as before. But look, what will be important? Maybe the rail won't be the place to be. Maybe it will. Maybe they'll be sweeping down the outside. We will know that by race seven, and that's the time of the Everest. So those things to factor in tomorrow. But at the moment, I think the heavy track probably doesn't eliminate any real horse. Maybe Vega Magic's the one that you would maybe put a little line through, but all the others seem to handle the going.
Okay, Bruce, mate, always a pleasure catching up with you, and just enjoy tomorrow. It's going to be an absolutely fantastic event. Mate, I'll tell you what, I am loving you watching on social media, watching these races with Winx running. You've got a quite an association with Winx.
Yeah, look, I didn't realise until the other day that I'm being watched doing that. So, no, I love that mare. So, yeah, I'm going to have to watch myself, aren't I? But, no, she's just the apple of my eye, to be honest. I've never seen a horse like her. So I get very nervous when she runs and very relieved and happy when she wins. And she seems to do that all the time. So I'm a happy guy. Yeah. There you go.
Good on you, Bruce. God bless you, mate. Always good to catch up.
All the best, boys. Bye-bye.
Yeah, there he goes. Bruce McAvaney, courtesy of Channel 7, and great to have him on the show. Hoop's been great working with you again, old mate.
Always a pleasure to see you, Anthony. Massive weekend of sport.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
And do you, of course, you're going home now for a barbie. Now, what's your method for cooking a steak? How do you do it? You have the Weber or the cross raise? What sort of barbie have you got?
No, I've got a barbie mate.
A barbie,
Anthony,
mate.
Yeah,
right.
Barbie mate. So it's got a nice big grill on it.
Right.
And I'll crank the grill up nice and hot, and then throw the porterhouse on. Mm-hmm. Give it about 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes on one side, and then flip it over a couple of minutes on the other side, and Bob's your uncle.
And that's how it's done.
That is.
Well, mate, I won't see you again till footy season, hopefully.
No, we'll lock horns at some stage for sure.
Of course we will, mate. We're taking over something in summer. Always good to see you, Hoops.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Maroon.
Rush Hour with MG on Triple M.
Tools down. That has been the Triple M Rush Hour catch-up podcast for Kennards Hire. They've got what it takes to make your job easy. Kennards.com.au.